Hi everyone and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 570. I hope you all are well. Any questions, comments, suggestions, recommendations, sponsorships, please email me at rabbiismach@take10fortorah.org. So there's an idea that I've shared in the past in the Take 10 for Torah series relating to a pasuk in Bereishis Memches, pasuk Chaf Beis, Parshas Vayechi. When Yaakov is speaking to his son Yosef, he tells him, "Nesati lecha shchemechad alachecha, asher lakachti mian hu amori b'charbi v'kashti. I, Yaakov, assign to you, Yosef, one portion more than to your brothers, which I wrestled from the Amorites with my sword and bow." So there isn't a lot about that story, about Yaakov wrestling anything with swords and bows, but the Gemara understands this sword and bow to mean something else entirely. The Gemara says, Charbi refers to his tefillah, Kashti, his bow, refers to his bakasha, his request, another type of tefillah. And of course, while you might understand this in a simple way, the cherev and the keshes are the weapons of war that he used to perhaps take these places, and some midrashim understand it metaphorically in a different way. The cherev and the keshes are the mitzvos and the masim tovim, the good deeds that he did, the character development that he had done until that point merited him to receive this land that he was now bequeathing to Yosef, but this Gemara seems to understand it as tefillah. And as I've explained in the past, the Meshech Chachma explains beautifully that there is a difference between the cherev and the keshes. These two different types of tefillah. The cherev is the sword, the keshes is the bow. The cherev, of course, is sharp on its own. It doesn't require too much power to thrust into something and do a tremendous amount of damage. Whereas the keshes, on the other hand, the keshes requires power from the one holding the bow, so that the arrow can be sent at a far distance. It would depend entirely on the power of the archer to be able to make sure that the arrow could achieve distance, and not only that, but penetrate whatever it needs to penetrate. And so we have the cherev and the keshes as being two very different weapons of war. And says the Meshech Chachma, that actually reflects the nature of our prayer as well. There is cherev and there is keshes. Cherev are words that are inherently powerful. They are formed and constructed in a way where when we use these words, when we use these formulas, they are powerful even if we don't perhaps have the appropriate kavanah, we don't have the appropriate intent. Whereas the keshes, that's the bow, that's referring to tefillah, which is bakasha. Bakasha, notice the similarity of the words, bakasha, keshes. That bakasha is dependent on our power, the power that we put into it, the intent, the motivation that we have. That would depend on the distance that it travels. Now, you of course understand that between these two weapons, the one that's much more effective for warfare is the keshes. It keeps the enemy at a distance. It is the more powerful, it's the more recent of the two weapons. And it seems to be the weapon of war that, you know, you would prefer. So, of course, these two different types manifest themselves in the form and the function of our tefillah. The Rambam, of course, understands that the story of tefillah was there was no standardized prayer originally, and there was no standardized time. And the Chachamim, due to the fact that languages were corrupted and people were not able to be articulate in their prayers, formed the prayer for us so that it would be easily understood by one and all. He says, the Chivin, since Shara Ezra Bezdino Kach, Amdu V'tiknu Lehem Shmona Esrei Brachos Al HaSeder, they established these 18 brachos in order, Shalosh Rishonos, and he explains each one, and he also notes the Emtzius, the middle brachos, the ones we refer to as Bakasha, right, that Keshas, Bakasha, the Emtzius Yesh Bahen She'ilas Kol HaDvarim, they have all the possible requests, all the things that you might consider desiring. Shehin kamo avos l'chol chefze ish. They are like avos, they are like fathers. And we have this in halacha a lot, where there's an av and a tolda. There's a father, there's a tree, and there's the tolda, there's the branch. These trunks of brachos in the middle of Shmona Esrei are focusing us towards the necessities of human existence. And that is what they formed for us, really, in terms of a keshes. That's the keshes, the bow, which we're able to customize, we're able to enhance, but at their root, they are the cherev. At the root, this is the form and the tzura, the design of brachos, which on their own include the content that we need. This idea is reiterated in many places, not only the Rambam, but Rabbi Nebachi and Devarim, Perek Yud Aleph. He says, the chen tetzarech ledask kimimos Moshe anan sheknes zagdol ha'isat tfilu v'yisrael bilti musudaros b'tikun shavu l'kulam. The tefillah was not uniform, and not everybody was doing this the same way. And so he says, Therefore, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, the people who are involved, got together and composed these brachos. Ulechein teknuha b'lashon pashut. Now, this is fascinating. The Rebbe Bachya says that one of the hallmarks of Shmoneh Esrei, and I think we identify with this, at least I do, most of Tefillah, that particularly the Tehillim parts, are very difficult to understand. The words are hard. The themes, even if you understand the words, are very disparate. There are a lot of themes, a lot of things going on in any one paragraph. But the Shmoneh Esrei is relatively simple, or at least simple on its face. He says, L'kach tiknu b'loshon pashut, move on, a simple and understandable language, k'deshali yisbalbalu ha-rayonim b'havanas ha-lashon, so that the ideas not get confused in the attempt to understand the language itself. V'sheyu kol Yisrael shavin ba bein chachamim bein tipshin. And so the wise and the foolish, the people who are very intelligent, the people who are less sophisticated, the people who have better language skills, the people who are less educated, all of those people have the same experience when looking at the Shmoneh Esrei. I've noted that the hardest bracha in Shmoneh Esrei, I think, is V'lam al Shinim. V'lam al Shinim, the 19th bracha, it's the last bracha that was added. I wonder if the hardest bracha is V'lam al Shinim. That might be subjective. Maybe other people find a different bracha harder. But that bracha, being the latest edition, perhaps that's why it was it's somewhat different than the others. It has more repeated adjectives. Meheris Akir, it was a Shabbat, it was Magir, really, those, I guess, are adverbs. More repeated phrases, and the words are a little bit harder. I wonder if that has something to do with the fact that it's created a little bit later, and its form is structured in a different era. And that's why the Rabbeinu Bachya says the Shmoneh Esrei is relatively simple. But he says, of course, that's the starting point. He goes on to say that there's an incredible depth to the tefillah. He says, Amnam tiknu osa b'kavana gadola u'mahashkacha yisera. This was with great intent and great meaning, and providence was involved. He says all of the structure and the words themselves are very deep and very profound. And while the starting point might be simple language, the depth and profundity with which these words are intended for people to find the layers and layers upon meaning, he says, that, of course, is there and significant. And so within the Shmoneh Esrei, we have the cherev, they're the words themselves that are powerful, but then our ability to mine those words for greater meaning, that's, so to speak, the keshes. That's the distance we can take that Shmoneh Esrei. B'chaim Balazhin explains this as well. He says, Avodosenu hi rak ha-tfila. Our avodas Hashem, or our communication, like what we refer to avoda as we used to in the Beis HaMikdash, that is b'makom zevach u'mincha. Our service today consists of prayer instead of sacrifices. The hadvarim omdim rumo shalolam, and this is of the highest and most significant, lofty state. B'chol teva v'teva ola l'makom gavo. Each word goes to this incredibly high place and is very significant, and that's why it had to be composed by Kofchav, the Zakenim, the 120 elders who composed it. Umehem kam neviim. There were prophets who understood the even deeper meanings of these words, and he goes on to explain that no two tefillos have ever been the same. They're like fingerprints. Miyom sheniskana lo haya ba'olam beis tefillos sheyasa rosham shava lamala. No two tefillos by any one person or by anybody has accomplished quite the same thing. The variables with which we are able to modify what we mean, how we think while we say these words, these basic words, is so vast that has never been, he claims, two which have been quite the same. No two arrows, so to speak, have ever been shot the same distance. Finally, the Aruch HaShulchan has a long discussion about the history and the formation of the tefillah, and he says something apparently in his era, in the late 19th, early 20th century, there were people who attempted to, it doesn't seem to translate the tefillah, I'm not exactly sure what he's referring to, but he writes as follows. He says, V'chal teva v'teva omed b'ruma shalolam. Each word is at the highest space in the world. Chalila lanu, God forbid, l'shanos minuschasam af kikuto shel yud, to change from what they created, what they formulated, even the slightest amount. V'kolchkin osam ha-pokrim sheshinu nusach ha-tfila milashan ha-kodesh l'lashan laz. People who attempted to translate it, and it seems that he means they wanted to translate in a way which is not obviously what we refer to when we think of the translation. They wanted to turn it into something of the vernacular where that would be the only davening, I guess, and there wouldn't be a Hebrew which was translated, but it would just be the translation. Now, while it's okay to read the translation if you don't necessarily understand the Hebrew yet, but we're still seeing the power of the Hebrew words. Translations rely on only one interpretation of a Hebrew word, whereas the Hebrew word obviously has much more depth and profundity, as we're learning. Now, Elohim Chelik B'Elokei Yisrael, and such people don't have a portion in the God of Israel, V'Torah So HaKadosha, V'Gavosam, Kisich Lasam, and they have incredible, tremendous arrogance. The Eich Yoyez Enesh B'Darasein L'Shanas M'mash Yastu Avos HaOlam. How could somebody change this powerful thing? And what we're seeing over here is that, yes, there is a formatted tefillah. That tefillah should be seen as the starting point. That's the tefillah which is simple and understood by all. That is the cherev, but there is the keshes. And our deeper understanding of those words is really going to be the indicator of how far we can shoot that tefillah, how far we can send that arrow. Have a great day.